Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door. Get two free snacks in your first box by signing up at naturebox.com/Jim. That's naturebox.com/Jim. Thanks, NatureBox. This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is also brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code campfire. Thanks, Casper.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And I am in the mood for some campfire stories, and I'm guessing that you are too, since you're here. I know we've been picking up a lot of new people, so welcome. Also, check out my other free paranormal podcast. It is called The Paranormal Podcast, where I interview authors and experts. But here we share stories, personal stories, and that's what we're going to do. And here's the first one. Devin is calling from Kansas City, and he has a piece of audio that gave me the chills. And we're going to play it for you. So Devin is interested in EVPs and instrumental trance communication and things like ghost boxes and so forth. Very fascinating stuff. And he had an experience that, I'll let him describe it to you, but hold on to your hats. This audio is going to really blow you away. Devin, wow. I just listened to that and I was blown away. But let's start from the beginning. How did you get involved in all of this?
Not a problem. I appreciate you letting me share. Ever since I was a kid, I've always been interested in the whole Ouija phenomenon. And like many of your previous callers, it's always been an interest of mine. But not until a couple years ago did I kind of make the quote-unquote adult decision to really, you know, give it a shot. Never really touched a Ouija board, but definitely got interested in the ITC field just based on some evidence my friends had, as well as some major YouTubers I ran into and their evidence. So I really started around this time 2 years ago. And man, I tried ghost boxes, I tried applications, and I just didn't really get too far. But it always kept my curiosity, so much so that when I went on a paranormal tour in a local historical town, I really got some crazy results.
Yes, you did. Now, what we're going to do here is I'm going to play the audio, then we're going to come back and talk, and maybe you can give us the interpretation of what you think you hear on this recording, which is a little over a minute and a half. And then we'll play it again and see if people can hear the things that you're talking about. So, Devin, here is that very eerie clip.
Any friendly spirits here with us right now? Is there anybody here at all?
No.
Are you a friend?
Yes.
What's your name? What is your name? How old are you? How old are you? Is there anybody else here? What is your name? Is this a good way to speak to you? Is this a good way to speak to you? All right, I'm about to turn it off. Is there anything else you'd like to say? I'm going to turn it off in one more minute. Is there any message you might have for anybody? All right, thank you very much.
I got to say, that gave me chills, particularly about a minute in where you kind of get that feedback effect. I was listening to it before the call, and I'm like, ooh, and it takes a little bit to make me do that. So, well, tell us a little bit about the context of that night and where you were and what you think you were recording.
Absolutely. So we were on a paranormal tour in Lawrence, Kansas, a great town where Kansas University is, the Jayhawks. And it really kind of just became more of a walking history tour, which is kind of fun. You know, we went to some graveyards related to the Civil War and even an old haunted mansion where the ashes of a mistress were imbued into the mantle of the fireplace, that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, no real results. You know, I tried doing my little run into the corner and do my own little spirit sessions, but nothing was coming out. Then we got to the last stop on the trip, and that was a children's cemetery at what is now Haskell University, which used to be a quote-unquote boarding school in the early 1900s for Native American children.
Mm-hmm.
Since they weren't able, or we weren't able to treat their illnesses, they put it approximately 100 children buried there all the way up until 1943. So as soon as we got there, it felt completely different. We were all completely chilled, and I knew this was going to be it. I ran off into my own corner and fired up my ghost box and got exactly what you heard.
Wow.
I pretty much peed my pants immediately, honestly.
I thought maybe that was going to happen to me while I was sitting here listening to it earlier. Now, what do you think, who do you think was communicating? What was it, the children, do you think? And if so, or whatever it was, what do you think they were saying? What were some of the key phrases you picked out?
Well, it's all my opinion, but I am not 100% sure that it was the children. But the spiritual energy was so strong there, definitely could have been. It could have been a spirit passing through. But what I do believe, personally, is that I spoke to two spirits that night, and almost conversationally, one of which continued to repeat the name Peter. Another one said Nathan. One of those names I was able to find in the registry for the cemetery. But it started so strong. Immediately, I asked if there was anybody around. And what I believe I heard was lost and friend. Like lost friend. And at the time, I was immediately scared, truthfully. Because again, up to that point, I really didn't get any results with my work.
Right.
So when I heard the word friend, once I calmed down for a second, I asked, are you a friend? That's when it goes crazy for me, because what I heard immediately and very conversationally was a response of yes, in that really eerie voice, yes.
I got to say, it's quite chilling and one of the clearest pieces of audio we've heard on the show. And I think we're going to listen to it again, and here it is.
Any friendly spirits here with us right now? Is there anybody here at all? Are you a friend?
Yes.
What's your name? What is your name? How old are you? How old are you? Is there anybody else here? What is your name? Is this a good way to speak to you? Is this a good way to speak to you?
Hi.
All right, I'm about to turn it off. Is there anything else you'd like to say? I'm going to turn it off in one more minute. Is there any message you might have for anybody? All right, thank you very much.
Well, Devin, it is it's a head scratcher, that's for sure. How has this impacted you? Has this excited you about the field? Has it kind of turned you away? I mean, how has it changed you?
100%. That night, I mean, as you can imagine, I went home and was reviewing that audio and listened to it over and over. I couldn't even sleep because that's what was going through my head. So that night changed my life. It changed my worldview and even my perspective on, you know, how we live day to day and what's around us. So because of that, it's definitely led me on a charge of continuing to investigate and go and try to talk to spirit in places and have what I continue to believe to be some reasonable conversations.
Now, you had mentioned something about a YouTube channel.
Yeah, it's starting up just now, but because I know so many folks interested in it, just like myself, I'm posting my evidence starting here in the next few months to Aerodyne Paranormal. That's spelled A-E-R-O-D-Y-N, like Nancy E. Aerodyne Paranormal. I know a lot of folks love that stuff, so I don't like to put up the stuff that is more questionable, but if it's conversational and it sounds like somebody's really talking, I love for others to hear it, so check it out.
That is very cool, and I also encourage Devin to go over to our virtual campfire Facebook group and post some of his clips, because this stuff is fascinating and very, very interesting. Devin, thank you for joining us, and please keep us up to date in your work.
Thanks so much for having me, Jim.
Our next guest on the campfire is Michael from California, and he's been listening for about a year and found us when he went looking for spooky podcasts last year leading up to Halloween, and I'm so glad he found us. He's going to tell us a story about a ghost he saw when he was 8 years old. And Michael, tell us what happened.
Thanks, Jim. So when I was 8, we lived in the city of San Jose, California, in a neighborhood called Willow Glen. And we moved to a different part of the neighborhood. And it's kind of an interesting neighborhood just because it's a little older, so all the houses are kind of unique and they've been around a while. And the new house we moved into, I had kind of a strange feeling when we moved in. I didn't feel totally comfortable there. And it kind of persisted, and I would get kind of an odd feeling when I would be alone or close my eyes as if something was watching me or approaching me. And that continued on. And then when we lived there for about 6 months, one night, I woke up, and I remember the time was kind of significant to me. I think it was 3:13 in the morning, and I don't recall exactly why I thought that was significant now, but the number seemed important then. But standing about 5 feet from my bed, I saw an elderly woman, and she was mostly kind of nude and kind of had a decaying look to her.
Ooh.
It was very frightening, of course. And I was paralyzed with fear. All I could really move was my eyes, and I just looked at her, and she was staring directly at me. And she didn't look quite normal either. It looked kind of shrunken and misshapen a little bit, and was just staring directly at me, and I kind of looked her up and down very slowly from the tip of her head down to her toes and back up, and then we locked eyes. And I recall that the eyes just were kind of larger than normal, and I only saw kind of big black pupils. And once we locked eyes, I felt as if I couldn't look away, and I just stared until eventually, very slowly, started to disappear. And it seems like it took several minutes before she fully kind of faded away. And I felt still too scared to move or call out to my parents or do anything. So I just lay there until somehow eventually I fell asleep. The next day I told my parents about it. And they both didn't react too big, but I could tell that they kind of took it seriously, but we didn't really talk much about it after. And I didn't really have such a strong feeling of being watched anymore, but I didn't quite feel comfortable there. And we only ended up living there about another 6 months. And once we moved, my dad let me know that an old woman had actually lived in the house prior to us, and she had passed away in the house, and he believed that she had even been in my bedroom. So that was quite a scary thing to hear afterwards. I think he didn't want to tell me at the time since I still had to sleep there. But so that was something.
That's terrifying. And to get that validation that this reflected something, that has to be something else. And I'm guessing that kind of changed your whole view of the paranormal. And that's probably why you listen to podcasts like this, is that it fascinated you. That's my guess.
That's definitely true. I already had an interest before, but after that is something much more real to me, something I had personally experienced.
Yeah, that is just awesome. That is just an awesome story. Michael, thank you so much. I know you have other stories, and we're going to cover that on a future show, but I appreciate you being a part of the Campfire.
Thank you very much, Jim.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by NatureBox. NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with simple ingredients right to your door. And we've got a special offer just for you, where you can get some free snacks. I love free stuff. But first, let me tell you about NatureBox. You know, a lot of us say we want to make healthier choices, but when we're tempted with chips, cookies, and junk, what do we do? What do I do? I've been there. We eat chips, cookies, and junk. But there's a way to have healthy snacks. You can avoid the guilt with better snacks with NatureBox. As I said, NatureBox delivers tasty snacks made with simple ingredients, so you have something better to snack on without feeling guilty. They're always at the ready because they come right to your home. They have over 100 delicious snacks to choose from, ranging from healthy to indulgent, all with no artificial colors, flavors, or sweeteners. Now, my personal favorites, getting hungry just reading this, cashew crumble and peanut butter nom noms. Nom 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 nom. Here's how it works. All you have to do is go to naturebox.com/Jim, pick up your snacks, and enjoy. It's that simple. Now, one thing about NatureBox that is really cool, and I didn't realize it until I got introduced to it and went to their website and looked around, which is a fantastic website, but they have a tremendous variety. They're always adding new snacks based on customer feedback and food trends. And unlike traditional food companies that take between 12 to 18 months to bring something new to the market, well, NatureBox can launch a new snack in less than 12 weeks. So you'll always have something new to try. Plus, and I love this, I love when companies stand behind what they do. If you ever try a snack you don't like, NatureBox will replace it for free. Now, speaking of free, here's where that free word comes in again. NatureBox is offering you, the Campfire listener, two free snacks in your first box when you go to naturebox.com/Jim and sign up. Avoid the guilt and feel good about yourself and have some delicious snacks. I got to admit, my mouth is watering as I read this. I might not be able to get through it. Go to naturebox.com/Jim, sign up, and get two delicious snacks for free in your first box. Now, this offer won't last, so get your snacks today. Go to naturebox.com/Jim for those two free snacks in that first box. That's naturebox.com/Jim. You'll thank me. And I thank NatureBox. Next up is Madeline from Denver, Colorado. And she's a brand new listener. She found us on iTunes. In fact, she found the Paranormal Podcast, our other free podcast. If you haven't listened to that, please do check it out. And then she heard about the Campfire, and here she is, and she's going to share her story. This is about, well, a spooky trip to West Virginia. Madeline, thank you so much for joining us today, and I appreciate it, and please do tell us your story.
Thank you. So, it started about 5 years ago. I went on a class trip to Pennsylvania and West Virginia to sort of tour Civil War campsites, or not campsites, battlegrounds. And so when we were going around, I was obviously taking pictures of everything just because, you know, I love the scenery and I was kind of almost hoping for something sort of paranormal to happen. And, like I've always thought that I've been very in tune with it. Like I've, seen my great grandma after she passed. I've been able to just sort of sense things. And so when we'd go to the various battlegrounds, I always got the feeling.
Right.
And, you know, as the trip went on, I looked through all my pictures and I didn't really see anything. So I wasn't disappointed, but I wasn't, you know, excited. And it wasn't until I got home and I was showing my mom all of our pictures on my laptop that I was kind of just clicking through them really quick. Just like, oh yeah, here's West Virginia. Here's this, here's an old firehouse. And once we passed a picture of a battleground in Harper's Ferry, there was a, like sort of a foggy sort of figure. And we both just kind of stopped and I got the chills instantly. And I was like, did you see that? And she was like, yeah. And so we went back and we looked. And it's so vivid. It looks like a man sort of wearing a cloak and he is walking. And so at first I kind of thought maybe it was like foggy or maybe, you know, just going through all the logical explanations as people do. And I just couldn't come to any other solution that other than it was a ghost. And so my grandpa is a huge Civil War buff. And so I sent it to him just sort of to look at and to see if it sort of looked like it would fit the era.
Right.
And he like actually found reference pictures of other soldiers wearing a similar sort of look to them. So it definitely verified for me.
Oh my.
And then, yeah. And then the weirdest thing started happening is I went to go get all my pictures printed and I ordered one copy of everything, but then three copies of my ghost picture because I wanted one, my mom wanted one, and my grandma wanted one.
Right.
And when I went to go pick them up, I got all the pictures and I was looking through all of them, but I noticed it wasn't in there. It was like the only picture that didn't print. And it was the only one that I ordered multiples of.
Huh.
And so I was like, okay, that's a little bizarre. And so I just went and ordered just three of those specifically, no other pictures. And it went through, I ordered it online. I went to go pick it up and they said like, that they didn't have my order in the system. So I was like, okay, this is bizarre. Like, why is this picture not printing?
Right.
And so, eventually, like a couple months went by and I got a picture printer for Christmas. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do it myself. So I finally printed the picture and we put it in a photo album and just sort of let it be. And then things sort of started acting up.
Oh boy.
I don't know. Yeah. It was super bizarre. Nothing scary by any means, but just odd. And the worst one was when I was sitting home alone. I was with my dog and we were watching TV and suddenly like all the power went out and I was like, oh, that's odd. Cause it would happen from time to time, but I went to go look and like I flipped on all the fuses and nothing was turning the lights back on.
Huh.
And so I went to go get my phone to grab my mom, like to call my mom. And I noticed that our TV box was still lit up. So like the power was still running through the entire living room. Just all the lights were off. And I instantly just got like the chills and it felt so eerie. And more instances like that happened, like all of the lights kept turning on and off. And so I started Googling just to see if like, you know, sometimes you can capture a spirit within a picture and apparently it's happened before to other people, but it sounds like a more extreme extent than what I ever experienced. And so I eventually just, you know, tossed the picture and washed my hands of it and haven't experienced anything like that since. So it was just spooky.
That sounds like a very good decision, Madeline.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing your story, and particularly at these war scenes or where these battles happened with the Civil War in different places, I could certainly see something like that going on. And I thank you so much for joining us today on The Campfire.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Next up on The Campfire is Michelle from Columbus, Ohio, a fellow Buckeye, I might add. So glad to always hear from somebody from my home state. And she has a story, well, about a lot of strange things that happened with a house exorcism, and the list goes on and on. We're so glad to have her with us. A friend from a book club told her about it, about The Campfire. We're so glad to have her with us, and she's going to share a story. Michelle, tell us what happened.
Hi, I am very excited and glad for the opportunity to share my story with you. About 15 years ago, I was in a very tumultuous relationship with my husband, and I was really aggravated just at the end of my rope with it. And I went in the shower and I prayed a prayer. And this is what kickstarted my whole paranormal experience. I dared God to prove to me that he was real. And he did. 3 days later, my oldest son, Gabriel, had a drop of water that dropped on his head. Normal, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Well, before the evening was over, it was spraying across the room.
Oh, my.
And it was as if an invisible water hose had been brought through my house and someone had pulled the trigger for a few seconds and stopped. Well, this went on for 2 weeks. My ex-husband was a police officer. I was a teacher in a high school. We were just normal folks, really. Baseball going, birthday parties, the whole nine yards. Most of the people in the community knew us because it was a small community in West Virginia and very close to where the Mothman is known for being.
Oh, my.
I taught at Pueblo High School for 20 years, and so I'm very familiar with that area. I'm actually going to the festival this weekend. But the water that was spraying inside the house, we looked for a leak. We looked for every possible reason for this water to be spraying across our rooms. It was busting the light bulbs, which were hot. It was setting off the fire alarm. I finally, after about 2 weeks, I got desperate again. I was on planning period at school, and the Lord spoke to me and told me that there was a demon in the house.
Oh my.
And up until that point, I had not even considered that. It did not cross my mind. But we had, in the process of trying to find out what was going on, we had had plumbers, family members, just people in the community were stopping by because word got out fairly quickly that there was this crazy, bizarre thing going on at my house. So we had, just extinguished all reasonable causes for this water. And it, like I said, it wasn't a constant stream. It would spray and we would not be able to see where it was coming from. There was no wall that was busted. There was no pipe sticking out. The water company had come, the plumbers had come. We had probably 50 people at our house trying to find us. And so when the Lord spoke to me and told me there was a spirit in the house, I had to go home then and tell my husband, who was already, we had enough stress and tension on the marriage. And he, of course, thought I was crazy. And a priest came to my home and did a house exorcism.
Oh, my.
And that, believe it or not, the same place where the first drop of water landed, which was in the middle. It started in the middle of the house on the upstairs floor with that drop. That is the same location, that same portal where the last splat was heard when it left. Yes. So
wow.
that was absolutely the craziest, most bizarre experience I've ever had, but that didn't end there.
Hmm.
I had went to an energy lady just to try to find some happiness and to cope with my marriage,
right,
not realizing that I also had entities that had attached to me. So at her place, she does some, I guess you would call it Reiki. It's similar to Reiki, although she uses the assistance of angels. And while I was at her place, I heard these beings above me saying, "You shouldn't have come. You shouldn't have come." And they were talking over top of each other. It was very eerie sounding, but I didn't see them. And then I went into a seizure at her place.
Oh,
and
my
she
Lord.
Was able, yes, she was. I actually have a story in National Journals wanting to pick up that story. It's going to be printed in the spring, the Journal of Health and Human Experience. But that absolutely was crazy. It liberated me, and I'm so thankful for the experience that of the paranormal, It definitely gave me insight, and what I wanted was proof that there was a higher power. I wanted to know that something, whatever I was talking to in the air, was there, that there was really something or somebody listening to me. And that's what I got. I got my answer.
You sure did. You got it in a big way. So much so, I guess you've actually written a book about this, haven't you?
I did. I wrote a book called Rain, No Evil, and that's rain like water. And I have a website, and it is on rainnoevil.com, and it's also at Amazon. I have book signings and things scheduled there. Barnes & Noble's coming up here in a few weeks, but I have several great opportunities. I'm going to meet Homer Hickam at the Rocket Boys Festival. I'm a West Virginia girl, so I'm going to Beckley and hook up with him there. I'm just very excited to share the story, not because that it's I know a lot of people have crazy, bizarre, paranormal stories, and I know that mine is a little different, but the real story is the transformation that my life made because of what happened to me.
So you're not one of the people who encounter the paranormal and you're like, oh, I'm afraid of that. You know, get me back to a safe place. You're more like, this has opened up a whole new world for me.
Exactly. Yes. And you know, the most frightened that I was, I can't say that I was ever really scared, except when I saw a demon in my mirror. I did see a demon in my mirror. I had an out-of-body experience, and that's also described in my book. And that absolutely was the most frightening thing, and still to this day is the most frightening experience I've ever had, because it was very real, and my face looked like a demon.
Oh, my.
It was my face, but it was my face, but it was also a demon's face. And it was in my mirror, and we had my sons. I had two sons at the time that were living at the house. One was 7 and one was 12, and they were experiencing many different apparitions and just knowing things they shouldn't know. You know, just many, many different experiences. One was like the Grim Reaper. And my youngest son saw the like a Grim Reaper figure that I walked through it in the hallway. And since then, actually, my gifts have opened up as far as being able to see the lights and things, the sparks at night, the auras around people. You know, I think if you ask, a lot of times you'll get not only get your answers, but you can get a lot more. And I certainly am, like you said, open to that world that we don't see much more. I'm since divorced. My ex actually still lives in the house. Yeah.
Now, in terms of a trickster element, now you said you asked God to show you, but then all these kind of and some not so pleasant things started to happen. Do you ever think that maybe it wasn't God answering, it was somebody else?
You know, I've had people ask me that, and I do not believe that it was anyone other than God that allowed me to experience it. And I say that because my petition was to him, and I believe that he just simply removed the protection that he had given me all my life and said, okay, you deal with this, and then when you need me and you're desperate, I'll come back and I'll fix it for you. That's how I felt. That's just that inner sense of mine that I felt that's what happened. Because when the priest came, he did a few house blessings that helped, but he had to actually come back and do an exorcism, and he had the body of Christ with him. And when he did that, he commanded the evil to leave in the house. And that tells me that, you know, God was behind that evil leaving, or it wouldn't have left right when it did. I mean, we could all hear the splat. And so that tells me that that was God that made it leave, and that also had permitted it to enter. I don't think that he sent it to me. We all became Catholic out of that ordeal, actually, my entire family. I'm no longer a practicing Catholic, but I do think that a lot of their practices and beliefs are definitely much more similar to the Pentecostal church that I grew up in than in probably the religions in the middle that, as a matter of fact, my preacher had seen me grow up and married us. I grew up across the church, the street from the church, and he did not know what to do when I contacted him. He was a mainstream preacher in the realm of Church of Christ, and he just didn't know. He did not know what to do. He told me to call a priest, which at that point I already had.
Well, I'll tell you, it's quite a tale, and we wish you the best of luck with the book, and thank you for sharing your story today on The Campfire.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Ben joins us on The Campfire. He's been listening for 4 years, and he said he started out listening with his dad, and now he's taken it upon himself to continue. And on one hand, that makes me feel really old, but on the other hand, it's great. We're spreading the word multi-generationally. So share The Campfire with someone you love today. And Ben has this interesting story about a mysterious flash. Ben, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so this is brought up in my head because of the episode of the Paranormal Podcast from, I think, 2 weeks ago, where someone was telling their story about seeing a green flash in the mountains while they were outside shoveling snow.
Right.
And that happened, a really similar thing happened to me 2 years ago when I was camping in a mountain in Western Massachusetts with three of my friends. So it was just after midnight, a pretty clear night, pretty quiet. There was no one else on the mountain. We weren't really supposed to be camping there, but it was okay because no one was around. And so we're just getting ready to go to bed and looking up at the sky. And all at once, we see a flash of light that comes from the southwest approximately. And I thought it was green. My other friend thought it was green. And one of the people said they thought it was yellow, but it filled probably half the sky and was very bright. It was kind of like a lightning storm, but there was just one flash and no sound following it and nothing else for the rest of the night. And it was so bright. One of my friends, his initial thought was, oh no, Boston's been nuked, or like something terrible is happening and we're waiting for this sound that's going to like seal the deal and be like, oh, like something bad is happening. But no sound, nothing. Can't find any info about it online. Can't find any info from people who we know were in the area, maybe not outside, but it seems like other people would have seen it. It's a pretty well populated area. And then just to hear that story accounted in the previous episode of the Paranormal Podcast, and then also brought up by a second person on the same show, I think, it was just incredibly interesting and brought me back to that experience.
And I've got another one for you. This episode is yet unpublished as of we're recording this on September 22, because the shows come out different times. So this show may or may not be released, but we were speaking with Greg Newkirk and Dana Matthews, and they call themselves professional weirdos. They're I guess I'm the one too, but they are paranormal investigators, and they have a great site at weekandweird.com and weirdhq.com. And we were talking about general things in the paranormal, and I asked Greg what excited him or what interested him, or maybe it was Dana, but one of them. And they said they're really interested by the phenomena of green flashes, and it's happened to them too. So it seems like, you know, every couple of years there'll be a new topic that comes out that kind of surfaces that I've never heard of. And now we have Brendan Storr, I believe, was the first person you talked about. I'm not sure who the second person was you were talking about, but we also have Greg and Dana, and we have your account now. So this seems to kind of like when I first found out about black-eyed kids a few years ago. That floored me. And now this is doing something similar. So it's really, really interesting, Ben. And I really, really thank you for sharing your story tonight on the campfire. Yet another story bringing out this idea of a green flash. And I hope that if people are listening, they've experienced, they'll call in with it.
Yeah, I would love to hear more accounts of similar things, or maybe someone else saw the same one. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced it in like mountainous areas, but that certainly was a correlation between mine and whoever I can't remember the other person.
I think it was Brendan Storr, I believe.
Brendan Storr, okay. Yeah, similar setting as well. So
good stuff. Ben, thank you for being a part of the campfire.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. Now, Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. How many times over the course of your life have you went mattress shopping? Have you ever really felt satisfied? Like you got a good deal and you really had a chance to really try out your mattress? I'm guessing not, because you really don't get a chance to try out your mattress properly, but you can with Casper. We're going to tell you more about that in a minute. Casper combines two technologies, springy latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. The breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. Now, I have a Casper, and I love it. And all of my mattresses from now on will be Casper's. They are that good. And you can buy it easily online and completely risk-free. Now, remember I was telling you about the bad old days of mattress shopping where you had a salesperson kind of, high pressure, that kind of thing. Well, it's not like that at all. You got 5 minutes to try out a mattress. Well, get this. Casper knows the importance of truly trying out a mattress that you're going to spend a third of your life on. So they offer free delivery and painless returns within a 100-day period. 100 days. That's more than 3 months. So you don't have to test your next mattress by 5 minutes all bundled up in a showroom. You can really get it in your house and try it out and see if you like it. And I know that you will. Casper mattresses are also made in the USA. That's always glad to hear. And free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. So if you're in need or have been thinking about a mattress, give Casper a try because they are the way to go. You know, they have a very competitive price point to begin with. But because you are a Campfire listener, you can save an additional $50 toward a mattress purchase by going to Casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. That's Campfire.com/campfire and enter that promo code campfire. Terms and conditions apply. I know that you will want to give it a try. They're Casper, and I love their mattress. You will too. Thanks, Casper. Well, Barry Strom is back. Now, you may remember him. He's been on the shows before. He's talked about his book, about UFOs, about his haunted antique shop and some haunted objects over there. And in November, we're actually going to do a reading session that we're going to feature on one of the programs. But tonight, Barry is going to tell us about a spirit. And this spirit has, well, let's say, something it does that, well, I guess technically everybody does it, but you don't really think about it when it comes to a ghost. And I'll let Barry break it to you. That's maybe a funny phrase, breaking. It has something to do with breaking, I guess. Barry, tell us about Bert and how he expresses himself.
Well, let me give you a little background about Bert. Bert happens to be my wife Connie's prior life brother. And he's with her all the time. We have communicated with him regularly now for 6-7 years. He will talk on the ghost box. She can use a pendulum with him. And he is a real piece of work. But he always appears to be with her. So one day we are in the store. And this is a little background before you'll know why Bert acts the way he does. But we had a customer come in. And we had just opened the store. And a customer had come into the store. And I was putting jewelry in the front case, and my wife was in the office not aware of what had happened. Well, our customer apparently had had too many baked beans the night before.
Oh, my.
And he let a world-class passing of gas take place.
Yes.
And it kind of echoed through the whole store.
Oh, my.
And my wife comes running out to me, and she goes, "Why did you do that?" Now, I have no idea why she would ever blame me for it, but the customer, wasn't aware the customer was in the store. I'm giving her hand signals. I'm saying, "Stop, stop, stop," you know? And all of a sudden, it dawns on her what she just did, and she goes back in the office, highly embarrassed at the situation. So, as circumstances would have it, that night we were doing a paranormal session here at the store, and we had 4 guests with us for the channeling session. And we're downstairs in the lower level, and we have the ghost box on, and we're asking questions, and we're getting some great responses. And we are in between questions. And all of a sudden, I hear this sound very similar to what I had heard earlier in the day in the store. It sounded like somebody led a real world-class one. And I had 4 guests, and the lights were off, and just a little bit of light in the room. And I thought, I don't want to blame anybody, so we're just going to keep quiet and not say anything. And I could kind of hear an intake of gas, verbal gas around as everybody kind of went, you know.
Right.
So about 10 seconds later, here it comes again. And this time it was louder than the first time. Now, everybody in the room seems to be looking around, trying to figure out just who in the world has broken the silence, so to say. And all of a sudden it dawns on me, you know, that kind of was coming from the area of the ghost box. And I said to the people in the room, I said, I thought, well, I'll break the silence, so to speak, that's already been broken. I said, did anybody else in the room kind of hear what I just heard? And everybody kind of nods, and you could tell nobody was still was willing to take blame for it. So I said, okay, to the ghost box, who's making the sound? And all of a sudden, loud and clear over the ghost box, we hear, Bert. And then there was a little period, and it goes, it was me. He was incredibly proud of the fact that he had passed gas over the ghost box, believe it or not. And everybody broke out laughing at that point. And Connie was sitting there, and she fully understood what was behind the whole situation. But I made sure I didn't explain it to anybody else.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, Bert's a piece of work. One night, another little quick story about Bert. Connie and I both had cataract surgery, and we became friendly with our surgeon. And she's actually fairly psychic. So she comes over here to the store, and we're bending, and she's bending over at my desk, and she's bending over looking at pictures that I have on my computer. And all of a sudden she goes, somebody just goosed me.
Oh my.
And I went, well, both my hands are on the keyboard and there's nobody else here. So it wasn't me. I'm clear on this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she said, I think a ghost just goosed me.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then I said, let's get to the bottom of this. So I always keep a ghost box right by the desk because we can talk to him any time of the day here. I pull the ghost box out, turn it on. And I said, okay, who goosed her? And I hear Bert. And then he says, but I didn't mean any harm. So,
oh, my. Wow. He's a character, I guess.
No, he's beyond character. He is beyond. And he shows up at the damnedest times. But, he's really a cool guy. He will not talk to us on the channeling board, only on the ghost box. But he is an incredible personality. And he's actually told us the story of Connie's prior life. And very cool. Very cool. Now, I know people think this is a bunch of crap that I can talk to ghosts like this, but we actually can do it here.
You know what? I wouldn't say it's not true. And in fact, so much so, I'm looking forward to our session next month in November. And thank you so much for telling us about Bert, the gas passing ghost.
Yes, I refer to it as who passed the gas.
Well, she's been listening for a few months. She found us on Spotify. I'm finding more and more people are finding us that way. So thank you, Spotify. And thank you, Jenny from Florida, for tuning in and now signing up to tell your campfire story. And tell us about this. It sounds like it goes way, way back, and we'd love to hear about it. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. So the story starts when I was about 6 to 7 years old, and I lived in Miami, Florida with my parents, both my mother and my father, and my older sister who is 4 years older than me. So we lived in an old house in Miami, and the house turned into two different apartments. So kind of like a duplex. And my family lived upstairs, and there was 3 bedrooms upstairs, a kitchen, normal living room. And then downstairs in the other apartment was my aunt and uncle. So it was all family living in the house, and they had their own kitchen and everything separate from us. So when we moved in, I had a cousin who was the same age as my mother come and help us move in and paint the house. And her mother is actually into Santeria. I don't know if you guys are aware of it.
Sure.
So she's into that, but the daughter is not. My cousin is not. So she just gets really spooked out by anything or anyone who's into that stuff because she grew up with it and she doesn't like it. So when we moved into the house, she came to help paint and move, and she told my mother that she would never be returning back because she felt a presence in the home, mm-hmm. and she didn't want to be around it anymore. And it felt very negative to her. So my mother just thought it was her being silly and ridiculous and disrespected her wishes. And we continued living in the house. Everything seemed normal. Everything was great. And about a couple months in, my mom would start asking us, if my sister and I, if we were playing in the living room at night or if we were sneaking out of our rooms after bedtime. We said no. And then she would tell my father, you know, I think that you should talk to your brother and the sister-in-law who live downstairs, because I think they're arguing every night, and just check up on the relationship, see if everything's okay with them. And my dad just passed it off as my mother being nosy and whatnot and didn't really say anything. And so my mother started hearing furniture moving in the middle of the night, and it started creeping her out. So she occasionally went downstairs to see if any of the furniture in my aunt and uncle's house was moved. And after a couple of nights of her hearing the sounds, she just kind of got very fed up, and she wanted to go downstairs to say, hey, you know, the girls are sleeping upstairs, kind of just be a little bit quiet. And when she went down, she told my aunt, like, are you guys moving furniture and then moving it back in the same place? And my aunt was just like, no way, we're not moving anything. And then she said, well, is everything okay with you from your husband? And my aunt said, of course, you know, we're great. Nothing's wrong. So my mom didn't dig into it deeper, and she went upstairs. So me and my sister were very close, and we would play hide and go seek, as many kids do. And while that was happening, in the three bedrooms, my sister would run into the third bedroom, and I would find her. And being younger than her, she would kind of keep me in the room, and she would shove the door shut so that I was stuck in the room and she was in the hallway.
So that's not nice.
Yeah, that's already creepy enough because you're just scared, and it's a third bedroom. So from what I understood, my father's friend was living in the third bedroom, and I would see him, and when obviously we were playing hide and go seek, and we would run into the room, and I would, you know, scream at my sister, like, don't lock me in here. It's not our room. It's not our room. And I would just kind of see him stare at me like, what are you doing? Like, extremely upset and frustrated. And I would scream like bloody murder until my mom came and told my sister to stop teasing me, and she would bring me out of the room. So one night, my mother was sleeping in bed, and my father woke up and told her, get the gun. My mom said, you know, what are you talking about? And he's like, I hear noises, get the gun. And my mom's like, those are the noises I've been hearing every night.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And she was so terrified that she was like, I'm not going to go get the gun. Like, it's all the way in the kitchen. I'm not going to go. And she stayed in the bed. And next thing you know, she looked at my father, and he was knocked out asleep. So that was creepy. But the real twist to the story is, so while my mom was experiencing all these things, being the adult and the parent, she never told us about this. She would just question us if we were playing around at night, whatever the case might be. But she never told us this. And I always remembered playing in the house, and you know, if my dad's friend was there, I would feel like really creeped out. And I would just tell my sister, like, can we not play over here? Can we go play in our bedroom? And I would just, you know, run away. I was a young girl. So I, obviously being in a house full of women, I probably wasn't most comfortable with men. Well, after years happening, my parents moved out of the house. We moved into somewhere else. And Hurricane Andrew happened in Miami. So the house was still there, but it wasn't able to live in. So my mom, when we grew up, she told us, you know, do you remember that house that we lived in that was haunted? And, you know, I said, yeah, I remember you asking me questions, not so much really. And she always told us like the story about my cousin never wanting to come back. And my cousin always said, like, yeah, I was never going to go back to that house. So this literally happened like, I don't know, a couple months ago, a year ago. I was with my boyfriend and my mother, and I'm telling him the story about how the house was haunted and how I really hated when my sister would push me into the room, and her being the big sister, she probably thought it was funny, but I was terrified.
And I was like, yeah, you know, she would push me in this guy's room, and he hated kids clearly because he was always staring at me. He was super angry, and I would just feel like an angry person, like just looking at us. And then my mom looked over and she was just like, wait, what are you talking about? And she was laughing, and I was like, yeah, you know, the guy that lived with us, you know, my dad's friend. And she was like, Jennifer, I would never have a man live with us. There's three women in a house and one man, and your father was working to support the family the whole time. Like, I would never allow a man to live with us. Like, you're crazy. And I was like, Mom, there was a third bedroom, and he lived in there, and he was always looking at me, and he hated when we were playing in the room. And she was just like, no, there was never a man. So I always felt like there was a presence of I swore that it was a guy living in that room, but I guess my mom just had it as a guest bedroom, and there was a person there. There was something there that would always make us feel really uncomfortable in the house. And yeah, I just always feel like I can feel presence around me. I don't really ever get intimidated too much, but I do feel like I can always sense if something's around me.
Well, there you have it. And it sounds that final validation, you know, telling your mom and the fact you remembered this. Because a lot of times kids will forget things, but this stuck with you. It made such an impression that you remembered it, told your mom, and your mom says, I don't know what you're talking about. So that really is kind of the twist of the tale. Well, Jenny, if anything else happens, please come back on the show. And we thank you for listening to the campfire and spreading the word.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Anton joins us from Sweden, another international caller. I'm so happy that we're starting to get international callers again. We did great in the early years, and we kind of just, for some reason, somebody built a wall. And we weren't getting a lot of international callers, and they have returned, and we're so glad. Anton has a couple of stories, really, really interesting, poignant stories. I love these. Anton, thank you for joining us, and tell us what happened.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My story is not really a very dramatic one. I'm sorry to say it does not involve apparitions, things flying off the shelves, and so on. But I do think these kind of subtle encounters are more common than we think.
Agreed.
And to begin with, if I may, I have a really short story to tie together with my main one. And this was about 10 years ago when my grandmother passed away. I was her first grandchild, and she always held me very close to her. I helped her out with everyday things when she got older, and the last time, and I was the last one to visit her just hours before she passed away.
Oh my!
And later that same day, as I visited her for the last time, I suddenly smelled her perfume in my apartment, and normally I would just think that it somehow got stuck to me because it was really strong, and I simply smelled of her after I had visited her. But the weird thing is that she was in a hospice, not wearing any perfume, and it was about 3 hours ago that I visited her. So instead, my first thought was that, she's gone. She died. And sure enough, 10 minutes later, my father called me and told me just this, that she had passed away 15 minutes ago.
It isn't anything that surprises me. And I know you said, these stories aren't that dramatic. But you know what? I think you used the word subtle. And I was just talking to somebody on the Paranormal Podcast, the free podcast, the Paranormal Podcast, Joe Centrone. And he's a paranormal investigator. And I threw out there that I think a lot of paranormal encounters aren't necessarily full body apparitions, that they're subtle. And he said, you said the key word, subtle. And I think that makes it no less valid. And sometimes I think that the stories like these, I tend to have a little more faith in them than the very elaborate ones, Anton.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully more people will tear their, subtle encounters, because I think that they are easy to ignore because they don't feel all that spectacular sort of stories. So, on to the main story then. And my mother, she passed away last summer. And And let's see here. And I had the memory of what I experienced from my grandma's death. Mm-hmm. So I was almost a bit upset when my father called and told me that she had passed away, because I didn't receive a message or whatever you want to call it from the other side, as I did with my grandmother.
Right.
So I actually let go of the thought of there being another side. Or, you know, I didn't have time for it at the moment with funerals and everything else taking all of my attention. And however, a couple of weeks later, my two-year-old son, my mother's only grandchild, was driving with my wife in her car when he suddenly said, "Grandmother's in the back of the car." And this really startled my wife, because she's a skeptic and didn't really know what to do with this. So she asked him what grandmother was doing, and he just said, "She's smiling." And that was it.
Wow.
Then he just continued to look out of the window like nothing had happened. But the interesting thing is that my son was only two. He didn't understand that his grandmother was gone, and he never talked about her, and, you know, still never does. The car was a pretty small one, and my mother had never been in the back seat of it, so he could not have any memory of her riding along.
Wow.
And about a year later, I was, you know, this summer, I was driving in my car with my son in the back seat, and he suddenly said, "You know, grandmother is sitting beside me."
Huh.
And I asked him, you know, what she was doing, and he just said, "Nothing. She's just sitting there." And this was the first time that he ever mentioned her since she was alive. As I said, he never speaks of her if we don't encourage him or, you know, show him pictures. And even then, he really doesn't remember her. And the interesting thing is that we were driving home from his annual kindergarten summer camp.
Mm-hmm.
And the same camp he had been to last year, just days before she passed away. And this drive to and from the camp really brought up memories from last year. So it felt like some kind of connection to the past that somehow got the attention from, you know, the other side or whatever you want to call it. You know, interesting, nevertheless.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I think that our loved ones, it's kind of my hunch that they have subtle ways, and maybe it's more difficult to move in very dramatic ways, and maybe it's easier, but they know the things that will be meaningful to us, and they'll figure out a way to get that message to us. And I kind of think that's how it works. That's my best guess, but it's only a guess.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel as well. And just to end things, I have a the last little story that I have is I was in the shower, and he was about 2.5 years old, my son, and this was about 6 months after she passed away, and he was in his playpen just outside the bathroom, and I had to take, you know, 1 minute quick shower with the door open so I could see him at all times, but then I had shampoo in my hair and I had my eyes closed while rinsing, and I thought I heard someone call my name. Not my son, but someone else. But you know the feeling when you're alone with someone and this someone turns to you and says, "Did you say something?" And you say,
"Yes."
Yeah, you go, "No." And your friend goes, "Oh, I thought you said something."
Mm.
And it was exactly this kind of feeling, but with a sense of seriousness. So I turned the shower off, walked out, and I saw my son with a piece of plastic bag covering his mouth.
Oh my. Oh.
Yeah. And I have no idea where I got this from. And I certainly wouldn't let him play with it.
Of course not.
I certainly wouldn't put it in his playpen. But I was lucky enough to get to him before he could, you know, inhale it or something like that. So that was kind of a... Well, as I said, I just took it as a warning when I heard it.
I totally agree with that, because I think it's one of those things where something, call it a guardian angel, call it what you want to call it, but something looks out for us. I do believe that. I've had experiences myself where I've had a couple of near misses, and I believe that something, told me to to watch out, and it kind of saved me. So it's one of those things I absolutely believe in. Anton, thank you so much for joining us all the way from Sweden. I know it's got to be extremely early there, 5 or 6 in the morning or something like that.
Yeah, it's 5 a.m. So
yeah, so it's 11 p.m. here. So thank you so much. I appreciate you either getting up early or staying up late to be on the program. And we appreciate it. And thank you for listening. And please tell your friends over there.
Yep, I will. Absolutely.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed that campfire as much as I did. Now, next week, you're in for a real treat next week, because we're going to do a best of, and it's going to be kind of a smorgasbord of various stories that we've featured over the years. So if you're new to the campfire, it's an opportunity to hear some of those stories, maybe for the very first time. And we'll mix in some newer stories too. It's not just going to be the way, way back catalog. We'll mix in some 2016 stories as well. I thank you so much for tuning in. Please, during this Halloween season, no better time. Maybe you're going to a holiday party or a Halloween party, I should say, this weekend. Take your phone. Show folks the show. Show them how easy it is to subscribe for free on their phones. And maybe we'll get a lot more campfire listeners, contributors. It'll be great. And we thank you so much. I hope you're having a happy Halloween season. We'll talk to you next time. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.